Hebrew Bible is open there to Psalm 107. We're going to be taking all of our texts from this psalm. Justin introduced us to the book of Psalms and told us that it was a journey that takes us over some rocky roads, some very beautiful roads, some beautiful scenes, but looks to guide us to a fuller and greater relationship with God. It is a journey that involves real suffering, not just ideas of suffering, but David invites us into his own suffering, real pain. David invites us to feel his pain as he cries out to God. But even in those moments of grief, the psalmist turns his attention to Yahweh. He turns our attention to Yahweh. And the outcome again and again is a realization of God's action to save, to help, to redeem. And that ends then in shouts of praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 107 is one of those psalms that results in praise and thanksgiving, finalizing this book of Psalms. It's opening up the fifth book of Psalms, praising God for the deliverance that he has brought to his people. It's a very interesting psalm to me. It's characterized by these four scenes of disaster, four scenes of distress. The first scene is found in verse 9. If you look in your Bibles, or in verse 4. In verse 4, you have a scene of these people who are lost in the desert. Verse 4, they wandered in the desert along the way of the wasteland. They did not find an inhabited city. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Have you ever been lost? I don't remember the last time that I was actually lost. I think probably all of us can remember that feeling when we're, you know, this high and we turn around and mom's not there anymore and, oh, she just went around the corner. We can all remember that. But being lost in reality, in the wilderness, and not having food, not having sustenance, not having water, that is something that is absolutely distressing. And the psalmist invites us in to think about this situation. Here are these people who are distressed in verse 4. But it's not just they who are distressed. Look at verse 10. He talks about individuals who are imprisoned. In verse 10, it says, there were those who inhabited darkness and the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and iron, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he subdued their heart with labor, and they stumbled, and there was none to help them. Could you imagine being in the prison? Not just visiting the prison, but day after day, being in that same cell, having to do the same things, and not having the freedom to get out. My dad works with some prisoners who are Christians in Texas. And he talks sometimes about just the frustrations that some of them have. Frustrations because now they know the truth. They know who God is. But because of mistakes that they've made, they are just stuck. And they want to go out, and they want to know their loved ones, and they want to visit and see some of those precious moments in the lives of their loved ones, but they can't. And they feel helpless. They feel stuck. But they're not the only ones in distress. In verse 17, it talks about people who are sick and on their deathbeds. It says in verse 17, ignorant fools, because of the way of their transgression, because of their iniquities, they were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they reached to the gates of death. They cried out to Yahweh in their trouble. It talks about a situation where individuals then are sick on their deathbed. Later on, this becomes clear in the rest of these words. But here are individuals that are sick, and they don't know if they're going to live. Perhaps you know this same feeling, where you have been on your bed, sick, and wondering, am I going to meet God? Maybe you've had loved ones who've been in that situation. Those are moments of great distress. Sometimes it's in those moments where sometimes I feel like I I got a handle on life. And then all of a sudden, you're just reeling from the pain, from the sickness. And then in verse 26, the psalmist calls us aboard a ship to experience what it would be like to be a sailor, to be shipwrecked, lost at sea. I love the descriptive features of verse 23. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on many waters, they have seen the works of Yahweh and his wondrous deeds in the deep. It's almost like, okay, those who live on land, we've seen a lot of amazing things. But you know what? If you go out to sea, there's some things out there that you will never see on land. Some amazing things out there. Because God can cook up a storm. He spoke and set up a stormy wind, and which raised up the waves of the sea. And then you can see the ship going up and down in verse 26. They went up to the heavens, and they came down to the depths. Their soul melted away into calamity. They staggered, and they swayed like a drunken man. All their wisdom was swallowed up. There's nothing they could do. I don't know if you've ever been out to the sea. I have never been out. I've seen some movies that show, you know, that this little ship that's being tossed around on the waves. There's one occasion that really is memorable in my mind where I had some fear of being out in the sea. It was over here in New Jersey where we took the family out and I said, you know, I wonder. If I can get out just a little bit farther from the shore. And I went out, and what didn't take very long, I turned around, and wow, there's my family. And they looked like they were so far away. And I could feel the waves just picking me up and putting me back down. You know, someone with experience probably would have said, David, just stand up, and you'll be all right. But it was one of those moments. It was just, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to see them again. And I swam as fast as I could to be back there. And when I hit that, wow, I prayed to the Lord. There are moments like that. Maybe it's not one of these moments in particular, but I'm sure that you've had one of those moments where you just feel distress, anguish, fear. Because you realize you don't have control. There's some of those moments where God teaches us how much we need him. And what's so amazing about this psalm then is not just that we have these moments of grief and these moments of distress, but what else is featured in these psalms is a note how in each one of these groups, each one of these cases, they cry out to the Lord in their distress. Look with me, look in verse 6. In verse 6, it says about those who have wandered in the wilderness, they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. In verse 13, those who were in prison, it says in verse 13, they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. Those who were sick in bed, in verse 19, they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. With the sailors in verse 28, they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. It ought to be a question in our mind, who do we call out to in our distress? We live very pampered lives, many of us. So that we feel like, well, if there is any type of distress, well, we can have some type of solution. And we pay dearly for those solutions and make sure that we have all sorts of ways that we can call out to ourselves and to some type of company or some type, help me out of this. We got some type of solution. We live like this and we look for all sorts of insurance, for example. Insurance is not a bad thing. But it really is kind of sobering or makes me thoughtful to think of all the different types of insurance that we purchase. Anyway, here in America, we have insurance for the car, insurance for life, insurance for health, insurance for dental, house, travel, pet, unemployment, disability, business. I'm sure there's some that I've lost there. We have insurance for everything. We want that. We crave that because we have this fear. What happens if I'm in distress? It's amazing to me that when you go to Best Buy or go to some other store and you buy a product, you buy a laptop, the first question they ask is, and you would like a, what is the word?
Warranty.
A warranty? I didn't want a warranty before, but now that you ask, oh man, should I get a warranty? Do you think I really need a warranty? Oh man, what's going to happen if I don't get a warranty? I don't know. And the wheels start turning and they've got you, right? So many of these products are built on our fears. Because we know that we don't have control over everything. And we want control. And so we will purchase it. We will buy it. And we will look for it. But no matter how much insurance you buy, you're still going to get sick. No matter how much insurance you buy or how many warranties you buy, the thing is still going to break. And sooner or later, no matter how much money I pay, I'm still going to be looking in the face of death. And I'm going to need the Lord. But thankfully, it is to the Lord I can call. And we give thanks that we can call on Him. And He is powerful to save. He is the one who delivers them out of their distress. This is the point of this psalm that shows us that in each one of these cases, He is the one who is powerful to save. It teaches then that to this wanderer in verse 6, He delivers them out of their distress. And what does He do in verse 7? He leads them to a way, a straight way, to go to the inhabited city. In verse 9, He gives them, He has a satisfied and thirsty soul and a hungry soul. He has filled with what is good. To those who are in prison, it says in verse 14, He comes with His power. And what does He do? He brought them out of darkness, out of the shadow of death, and broke their bands apart. In verse 16, He violently, it says He shattered the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. To those who were sick, well, He sent His word, and He healed them and provided them with escape from their destructions. To those who are at sea, He caused the storm to stand still so that the waves were hushed. Verse 29, peace, be still. And then they were glad because they were quiet. As He led them to their desired haven. Each one of these cases, there is a show of God's great power. They have no power. They are in distress. What do? They call on Yahweh, and He is the one with the power to save. In verse 39, it shows His power to take everything and turn it on its head. He says in verse 39, He makes the wilderness into a pool of water. He takes what is dry and He makes it wet. He takes the dry land, He turns it into a spring of water. And there He causes the hungry to inhabit it so that they may establish an inhabited city. And sow fields and plant vineyards and produce a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them with they multiply greatly, and He does not let their cattle decrease. How did this happen that we have this blessing? It's because we have a God who looks upon us with His grace, with His loving kindness, and shows that to His people. And with this psalm, it is important to see, what is the point? Well, Yahweh is powerful to save from every distress. It's not just the point of the psalm that He can save from 4 distresses, and that's all that He can save from. No, it's every distress. And so if my distress didn't end up in this psalm, guess what? I can still call on the Lord, and he will save me from my distress. But it's not just that he is powerful to save me from my distress, and powerful to save me from every distress, but he shows his power in that he knows how to save every individual and every situation. I think this is just amazing. To think of how powerful God is, not just in power to create havoc upon the universe, but also he knows how to tenderly mold the life of one individual. It's one thing to be a powerful individual, the President of the United States. Wow, there's a lot of power that he holds with a pen. A lot of power that he holds by just making phone calls. Amazing things. But he doesn't know me at all. And he is not powerful enough to know every single individual and know out my situation and know exactly what I need. God is the God who sees. He is the God who hears. He hears my plea. He hears my need. And he is the God who comes to comfort and to save. It may seem silly, but I think it is important to see that to the sailor who's lost at sea, he doesn't come and say, "Do you need a drink of water?" To the person who is out in the desert and, "I'm lost. Do you need a life preserver?" God knows exactly what each one of them needs. And he comes and he saves. But that's not the main point of this psalm either. God is shown as this God who can see the distress of each individual. And when his people call on him, he comes with his salvation. But a big part of this psalm is also to remind the people who are singing out of this book that there is something that you need to do now. That just as God has saved you with his words, now you need to speak your words in answer to this great God who has brought his salvation. And so time after time, in verse 8, here are these people who have been in the wilderness, but finally God has brought them into the city that they have been looking for. And so it says in verse 8, "Let them give thanks to Yahweh for his loving kindness. For his good, his wondrous deeds are to the sons of men." In verse 15, those who have been in prison, the psalmist says, "Let them give thanks to Yahweh for his loving kindness, for his wondrous deeds to the sons of men." In verse 21, he speaks to those who have been sick. "Let them give thanks to Yahweh for his loving kindness, for his wondrous deeds to the sons of men. Let them also give sacrifices of thanksgiving and recount his works with joyful singing." In verse 32 as well, the same section, he says, "Then let them exalt him," in verse 31, it speaks about those who have been at sea. "Let them give thanks to Yahweh for his loving kindness, for his wondrous deeds to the sons of men, and let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him at the seat of the elders." The work of these individuals, this psalm is a story about these individuals who have been saved from these various distresses and to show God's power and his glory. But their story is not done until they have turned and spoken to their God and thanked him and glorified him because of what he has done. How often do I thank God? How often do you thank God? I am often quick to ask for things from God. Gimme, gimme, gimme. But unfortunately, I'm not very quick many times to say thank you. To say thank you for all the times that God has brought me out of distress. For the ways that God has taken care of my every moment. That he has the breath of my life in his hand. We need to be thoughtful of all the wondrous ways that God has blessed us. But they be very quick to thank him and to bring this glory then to the sons of men, to the assembly. Psalm 107 is an amazing psalm that does teach us then about this God who's able to save, who's eager to save, that just is wanting us, waiting for us to call upon his name and then give thanks when we give that salvation. But what is the most interesting thing to me about this psalm is that it's not just a psalm about salvation from physical distresses. I think that is something that we can take away from this psalm. And there's something very helpful to me when I read this psalm and read about how God is he can save us from these physical things. But in reality, this is a psalm that is couched in terms of relief from captivity. In fact, its position in the book of Psalms is really interesting. Justin was talking about this idea that the book of Psalms is this journey. The book one, book two, book three, book four, book two and three and four, if I get my numbers right, are talking about this distress that the people are going through. And talk about in terms of captivity. In fact, look in Psalm 106. This is in Book 4. And the Psalm 106 finalizes Book 4 with some terms about how the people of Israel are suffering in their captivity. It says in verse 40, really recounting the story of Israel. In verse 40, it says, "So the anger of Yahweh was kindled against his people, and he abhorred their inheritance, his inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the nations, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them, and they were subdued under their hand." He speaks about the rebellion of the people of Israel. The whole psalm talks about this, the people and the rebellious, not just in these occasions, but many different occasions, the rebellion against God. But now look what they have done. And because of this, they are in captivity. Many times he would deliver them. He wants to deliver them. But they were rebellious in their counsel, and so they sank down in their iniquity. Nevertheless, in verse 44, he looked upon their distress, and when he heard their cry of lamentation, he remembered them. He remembered for them his covenant and relented according to his abundance of his loving kindness, and he made them objects of compassion in the presence of all their captors. That despite all of their sin and despite all of this captivity and difficulty, God is a God of loving kindness, and he wants to shield his people from all of it. And so in verse 47, the psalmist cries out, "Save us, O Yahweh, our God, and gather us from all the nations." Here is an Israelite in captivity who realizes that Israel has been dispersed. And now he's calling upon Yahweh, calling upon this great God, "Save us, gather us from the nations, give thanks to your holy name, to revel in your praise. Blessed be Yahweh, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say amen, praise Yah." It's an amazing final note to this psalm. But it finalizes with this request. Lord, save us. Gather us. How does Psalm 107 begin? Book 5. "Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. For his loving kindness endures forever. Let the redeemed of Yahweh say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." Verse 3 is using the language of the prophets to talk about the good grace that God has shown to his people to gather his people from all these different areas and to bring them back into the land that he had chosen for them. What is the response of the writer? God is good. And let us, as the redeemed, of those who have been saved by God, let us say so. And in fact, when he talks about these different situations, he talks about these different physical situations, but I think this is really code language to talk about these situations, the spiritual anguish of the people there in captivity. Here are those who are wandering where? They're wandering in the wilderness. They're wandering in the wilderness, and what happens in verse 5? It says they are hungry and they are thirsty, and in fact, their soul faints within them. Later on in verse 9, it says that he was satisfied. He has satisfied and their thirsty soul, and their hungry soul was filled with what is good. God is here to provide everything that they will. They have come to be redeemed by God. Why is it that those who are in prison, why is it that they are in prison to begin with? In verse 11, it's because they have rebelled against the words of God. They have spurned the counsel of the Most High, and so that he subdued them in their heart with labor and subdued them. There was none to help. And then they cried unto Yahweh, and God came and shattered the chains of bronze. In verse 20, it talks about those then who are sick and in bed. And how does he heal them? He sent his word and healed them and provided them with escape from their destructions. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh for his loving kindness. These situations, and while they do aptly talk about God's salvation in any number of physical distress, I think the point of the psalm is to point us to the greatest salvation that God has to bring to his people. And that is salvation from their sin. God wants to bring and invite, but invite us to salvation. Invite us to a greater understanding of who he is. God is willing and able to save. This psalm talks about then us, maybe as a wanderer. Us as prisoners, slaves of our sin. Us as sick with the sin of this world. Us as people who are lost at sea, in danger of losing our souls. Does that describe you? If that is the case, there is a solution. God has provided the solution. He has called us out to call on the name of Yahweh. Calling on the name of Yahweh, looking for his salvation. In the New Testament, it talks about Christians then turning to God and turning then to his word, his salvation in Jesus. Being baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. But then our story is not done, says the psalm, until we have turned around and given thanks to this great God who has bought us out of our slavery, who has cured us of our sickness, who has brought us into the heavenly city. We need to be not only ready to present to the Lord our problems, but to be ready also with our lips to praise this God who has given us everything, who has sent his Son to die on a cross so that we could be saved, redeemed from our own wickedness. I pray to God that as we listen to these words of Psalm 107, that we will be blessed. It says, it finalizes then with these words, Psalm 107 in verse 43, who is wise? Let him keep these things and carefully consider the loving kindness of Yahweh.